Let's pray. Thank you, Father, as we, Lord, come together today. We just thank you and praise you, Lord, for everything that you have done for us. But Lord, all the things that you did pale compared to what happened about 2,000 years ago when you were resurrected, Lord. All things that you did, anyone anointed by the Holy Spirit, any man or woman could do. But no one could bring about their own resurrection the way you did. And we just, Lord, acknowledge that. And Lord, receive that in our hearts, in our minds, so that, Lord, we may fully appropriate the consequences and the results of what you did. Lord, we know that as we celebrate this event that took place 2,000 years ago, the reality, the impact, the truth hasn't changed. And has the same power today that it had then. The power to set us free, the power to heal us, the power to enable us to overcome whatever circumstance we are facing. And Lord, as we celebrate, Lord, the ordinance of communion that you established, Lord, that we may fully appropriate the benefit of it, that is not just a reminder of the forgiveness of our sins, but it's also a reminder of the healing of our bodies. The Lord, we may receive that healing today. If there is anyone in this place today, they need healing. Lord, we just ask you that you quicken them by your Spirit as they take the emblems of your body and of your blood. Lord, for them to receive today, at that moment, the healing that they need. We just praise you and thank you, Lord, because we know that this is a way that you have provided for us to receive the benefits of what this thing you have done. That our soul may bless you and remember all the benefit that you provided, Lord, to forgive all our sins and iniquities, and to heal all our diseases. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, the first book written in the Bible was not Genesis. It was Job. And that's been the most ancient book that was ever written in the Bible. And it's interesting that in that book, you can find the question, one of the major questions, one of the greatest essential questions that humanity has all the time. It's given in Job 14:14, that says, if man dies, shall he live again? It's interesting that this is really a question that goes through the whole Bible, for which we have an answer. But the interesting part, that the answer was given already in the same book that was pronounced, the question. If you read Job 19:25, says, for I know that my Redeemer lives. Hallelujah. See, that talking about God revealing himself to his people. I mean, this was before any Bible was written. And, you already had the answer at the end of the book. I'm going to continue reading here because it's so amazing. It's just, you can see the power of God in the words that God wrote in the Bible. As you read these verses, it says, and he shall stand at last on the earth. Sounds like Revelation. Okay. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, how my heart earn within me for this. So you see, this is before even the whole Bible was written. But there is a ongoing desire in human for eternity, for immortality. And the reason for that is God put immortality in man. When he created us, he gave us his life that has no end. And even if a man fell, that initial feeling, that initial need that was put there at the very beginning hasn't been removed. There is still that desire. There is still that consciousness that we are eternal. And the only part that goes away is the part that is under the curtains, which is our body. And that has to still be completely broken. But we are moving there. We are moving there. We have to realize how important is what Jesus has done, not just in his ministry on earth, but in his resurrection. Because that is the only instance in which that took place. There is no any group religions or anything else that ever has something to compare with that. They can become something that even can come close to that. And that is the validation and the confirmation of everything that he did and everything that he has accomplished, anything that he has said, and anything that the Bible says. Hallelujah. You see, today, much of Christianity is just too, especially in some countries more than others, is too much mental, intellectual, philosophical. And by doing that, lost really the power that was there at the beginning. Do you see some of the things even today in some countries? Like I'm now, for example, bringing up the Philippines. Indonesia. Where there was a revival not long ago. And, you know, these people are not very well educated. They are not trained in thinking according to our Western civilization, quotation marks. And the gospel is spreading in places that at a rate that is unbelievable. And the number of people that have been brought back to life from dead is enormously bigger than any other place that have been Christian for 2,000 years. Individuals that are not even ministers, they raise more than 100 people. Not even the biggest evangelist of our culture has been able to do even come close to that. And these people are not theologians. Maybe some ideas are even screwed up. But the power of God is working through them only because they only believe. When we understand that, it should help us to balance out our beliefs, our doctrines, and what is really important. You know, Galatians says that faith worketh by love. And we try to make lots of time things. There I go, off a tangent. We try to make things work out according to the way our mind works, by, you know, one, two, three methods. You know, one, you follow this step one, two, three to get saved and whatever. God doesn't work by that way. God works by them from our response from the heart. And what that we had to get back to that, to experience the power that is there. Okay, let me get back here. You know, the resurrection was not, lots of, even ministers don't believe in the resurrections today. Even leaders of denominations says that. But they have not, evidently have not read the Bible, because the Bible talks very clearly, if the resurrection is not real, then we are still in our sins, and you know, just the whole thing is a farce. The idea is the resurrection is real, not only that, but all, you see, Jesus was not a myth, like all the many of the leaders of other gods that are, you know, worshipped in other religion. They are not. They don't have that. Jesus was a historical figure that went through historical events that people see that were not even believers, and that they cannot attestate the truth of what took place. They saw him in his ministry, they saw the miracle that he did. They saw, you know, even people that were not even Jews received miracles from Jesus. You know, they saw what he taught. They saw him dying on the cross. It was a public event. Everybody saw it. And hundreds of them saw him resurrected. And more. So there is not a question of, I mean, there is no basis not to believe in what took place. The only way for us not to believe is that we are preconceived and biased, and we don't want to believe because we have an agenda. And by doing that, we get ourselves out. All the benefits. You know, the impact of Jesus' resurrection is not just the fact that Jesus was resurrected and we know that our sins are forgiven because he said that. And he said, you know, confirms the things that he said. This is one of the aspects, but it's not the whole story. It's just the beginning. The fact that he was resurrected means something much bigger than that. It means that there is a dimension, which is the spiritual dimension, which we do not see freely today, but is real and actually more real and more stable and more powerful than the physical dimension in which we are used to live. And that reality is even more important than this reality here. You see, we give so much importance to things that are affecting us now. And they are nothing compared to the things that are going to take place afterwards. Because we are not going to be ending the day in which our eyes are closed and we stop breathing. Our real self is the one you cannot see. We were made in the image of God. God is a spirit. John 4:24. And those who worship him, I have to worship him in spirit and in truth. How can you worship God if you don't have a spirit? It's not by the external things that you do that you worship God. You worship God with your spirit inside that no one can see. And so, God made you in his image. Hallelujah. And that image is not going to change once we are dead in the body. See, that should help us to find the right balance about our values. What is really important and what is not. Where the actual power is and where there isn't. You know, the power of Christianity is demonstrated by the way it spread at the beginning and the way it spreads everywhere when it's new. I mean, the apostles, all of them were ready to die to spread the gospel. And they all die except one, John, who did not die because they didn't try to kill him, and just they didn't succeed. I mean, he was resilient to death. They put him in boiling oil and put him out untouched. I mean, it's nothing different from the three boys they were put in the furnace, is it? He should have come out like, I don't know, fresh, you know, like crispy, yeah, crispy. French fries. That's what I wanted to say. All right? I mean, let's face it. And he was old and weak in his body. But you know, the weakness of our body doesn't matter when the power of the Spirit is inside. See, our outside body, you know, dies every day. But the inner one is renewed every day. I mean, your spirit is just as new when you are 100 years old than when you were just born again. See, that should help us to put things in perspective. You know, prisoners and not just in the time of Romans. You know, the time of Romans, you can see that, you know, very clearly in the Bible. But, you know, they were in prison. They were jailed. They were under supervision of the guards of the Roman Empire. And the results were that the guards of the Roman Empire were getting saved. They were the one with the physical power, but the other ones had the spiritual power to set them free. Amen. See, that's resurrection power. That's the power that Jesus came to provide for us. We should be invincible when we start operating in that dimension and we start understanding what is possible for us to do. It's not far away, it's not away, you know, it's not a question of, it's just a question of believing in overcoming our mentality that keep us bound to this physical world. And it is so powerful in us because we have trained to do to work that way. We have developed ourselves that way. Praise God. Are you following me? You know, the spiritual dimension is real and permanent. The physical one isn't. Now, you see, the thing is, Paul really understood that. And in Philippians, says something in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, says, you know, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, he just didn't say that to sound pious. He said that because he believed it. And he was ready to act according to what he believed. I said, but if I live in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet, what I shall choose, I cannot tell. You see, he's really in the conundrum. He doesn't know where to go, what to choose, because he's pulling so much strongly by the two directions. Okay. For I'm hard-pressed between two things, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is much better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. See, he wrote most of the New Testament. He felt responsible to do the work that God called him to do. And for that reason, you know, he was giving up being with the Lord. And he had lots of opportunities. I mean, make a list of them. It will take some time, and I'm not going to do it today. But he was stoned. He was, you know, given for dead. He was shipwrecked. He was bitten by a viper in 15 minutes. He should have died. I mean, everything. And only when it was the right time, he went because he finished his job. And that's what happens. You see, God knows what we are called to do, and and if we take a position, we stand for the truth, we should be able to fulfill the plan that God has for us. Hallelujah. So, Jesus said one thing. He said in John chapter 11, when 25, when he went to bring Lazarus back from the dead, said, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he shall die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe that? I mean, you know, to what degree we believe that? To what, you know, to what extent, you know, we really believe it? That's important because you know, that extent is going to determine our choices, the things that we give importance to, the things that we do in our life. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 says, yet indeed I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, I count them as rubbish, The word there is actually manure. That I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is found in him, is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. You see, is that the basis for our connection? This is the basis for our victory. See, we've been teaching about faith, but really faith is simply believing Jesus. Because everything else are methods. What boils down is the position of your heart in the relationship to what he did. Hallelujah. That now that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, and if by any means I may obtain the resurrection from the dead. So you see, the thing, the idea, the principle, the bottom line here is that Jesus was resurrected. But just wasn't resurrected for himself. He was resurrected to impart to us many, many benefits. And all these benefits is something that we have to remember. You know, Psalm 103 talks about them. He forgive all our iniquities and he heal all our diseases. As we properly believe that, we should see that manifested in our life. That is coming against what most of the people experience. It's coming against, you know, all the other things that try to contradict or try to deny the truth. And we have to know our part, what we can do to actually make it happen. And it's not just by our theology. You know, you can have somebody that is 100% theologically correct and can't get anything supernatural happening in his life or her life. And somebody that is actually all messed up theologically, but that actually things happen in his life that are actually God doing it. It's the power of the mind. Like science, you know, Christian Science says, or is the power of the Spirit what the Bible says? Were you saved by, you know, the work of the law, or your thinking, or your doing, or your good dead works, or by believing Jesus? Jesus, you know, when they failed in achieving the results that the disciples failed in achieving the results that they were trying to get, it's always been down to the same thing. You, a little faith. You, unbeliever. You, not believing. Only believes. Now, it would be that easy to do, to say and to do that. Everybody would do it. So there has to be a desire, an effort, an understanding, a growth, a commitment. There are many things that are involved here. But those things are important. And they have not an impact only now, they have an impact for eternity. Hallelujah. You know, the fact that Jesus was resurrected shows one thing, and it's given in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54 and following. Says, so when the corruptible has put on incorruption, that means, you know, it's not anymore corruptible, and these mortals put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? Or death, where is your victory? So the idea is simple here. Okay? That we are not there yet for the human race. But we're going to get there. If you can see the Bible, if you can see the description in number of places in the verses and prophecies and so on, they clearly show what's going to happen. And the fact that we are being transformed from this body or this tent or this habitation that we have for today that is dying day by day into one that doesn't anymore. Praise God. You know, if you want to know, you're going to look the same. I mean, you're going to be able to recognize me and I can recognize you. Because our body is the shape of our body is determined by the shape of the spiritual body that we have. That's a little aside, yes, though. So that you're going to see the people that you knew. They're going to see you too. Praise God. All right. So, you know, the Jesus' death and resurrection, you know, fulfilled all the prophecies given in the Bible concerning his life and concerning what he was going to accomplish. And today, we just have reason to rejoice because we see that everything is changed with respect to the world before. This was the fulfillment of a prophet of promises, and God promises to many people that was going to be materializing at the end. And we are at the end. We have been at the end since when Jesus left, but you know, we are getting closer to the end of the ends. Hallelujah. And so this is an exciting time, an exciting realization that we should have about the impact, about the choices that we make for our life. What is really important and what is not. Where to put our energy and time and where we should forget about it because it's a waste of time. I mean, we spend lots of time on things that still don't amount to anything. When instead we could work toward things that are going to have an impact that is going to be eternal. Not just for ourselves, but for others. Because the more we give to others, the more we are going to get too. But not because we do it trying to get more. It's because the love of God is operating in us to motivate us and to empower us to do things that are beyond our capacity. Amen. You see, it's not what we can do ourselves that makes any difference. It's what God can do through us that makes the difference. Is that that breaks the barriers, that breaks the forces of darkness, that breaks the things that bring about bondages in people and set them free. And the important thing to understand that we cannot achieve that through our own abilities. And we had to almost give up to do it that way. So that he can take over and start working through us to fulfill our destiny because he has a destiny for us. He has a plan for each one of us. You may not see it, you may not really understand it, but as you start responding to that truth, when you start, see, Unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3:3. It goes back to that. So simple. Okay? So you cannot, you know, you can go there wasting all your life. And by the end of it, you say, you know, what happens? What did I do? And it's been all lost. So it's important that we make the right decisions when we had the opportunity, the time to do it. And we start seeing the power of God working in us today, not by and by when we are gone. By that time, it's too late. See, we have a purpose in our life today to fulfill. And that purpose is going to happen only because we make decision to make it happen. It doesn't happen naturally because the natural man is going to naturally try to do the natural things which are sinful. It's the Spirit of God that guides us and empowers us to manifest the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. Hallelujah. Now I could talk here too much, and I'm going to have to cut it a bit short here. You know, one of the things that Peter said when he was at the day of Pentecost, you know, he preached to 3,000, you know, saved 3,000 people, you know, and ministered to them, you know, I'm going to read his words because it's better. Was talking about Jesus that they had killed him. I mean, he just gave it to them. Okay? I mean, you killed Jesus, you know, you killed the King of Kings, you them, so on and so on. You know, let me read you. Verse 31. He spoke, you know, talking about how. Spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ. He was talking about David. Verse 31, Acts chapter 2, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in the Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus, God has raised up, of which you are witnesses. Now he was talking at the crowd there. This was evident. See, nobody came up. Oh, it's not true. They couldn't say that. Too many of them have been witnesses of the truth. And because of that, 3,000 became believers and accepted Jesus as Lord. You see, it's when we dare to speak the truth instead of trying to, the way it's done today, be accepted by everybody, that the truth changes life. Okay. So our hope is that one day we also will be resurrected. But you know, it's not in the way the hope. This is Christian hope, not hope of non-Christians. There's a big difference when we talk about hope from a Christian point of view. Really, hope means earnest expectation. We are there, we're ready, wanting to see it, desiring to happen. Okay. Now, you know, I'm going to read just a couple of verses here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12. Now, if Christ is preached and has not been raised from the dead, how does some of you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? So the question is, you know, there is going to be. You are going to be resurrected. You better prepare for that. See, that's what we had to do. Don't look at what you got now. It's just, after all, it's just some flesh that sooner or later is gone. But the other one isn't gone. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is no reason. And if Christ is no reason, then our preaching is empty and our faith is also empty. Yes. And we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised Christ, up Christ, whom he did not raise up. In fact, the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. So the bottom line is this, you know, that there is no way out. If you are a Christian, you have to believe in the resurrection and you have to appropriate everything that that involves. That means you have to understand the implications of Jesus' resurrection. You have to understand what it means for you practically in the way you make decisions in life, in the way you choose, in the way that you have to expect to live. It changes everything. You know, that day changed the life of everybody. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, one of the things that Jesus said before he was leaving, you know, there's nevertheless, if I tell you, you know, it's to your advantage that I go away, because if I don't go away, you know, I cannot send the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is everything today. Because of his resurrection, we know the Holy Spirit is real for us. And we can experience his power. And it's the same power that Jesus had when he was resurrected, because he was resurrected by that power. Amen. See, in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, and this is a scripture that should empower us, motivate us, and make us believe for anything that we need, even our physical body. It says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that means you have received that. I mean, we can know that we have received that, because one of the first evidences that we're going to start speaking in tongues. And the more we speak in tongues, the more we have to give him the chance to express himself through us, through our body. So if we, you know, the Holy Spirit can be in us and do nothing. There, dormant. Nothing happens. We have dynamite inside, but there is no fuse. You had to activate that fuse. You had to do, and you know, one of the way you do that is by speaking in tongues. See, this is where the what is inside, you know, when you pray in tongues, your spirit prays, but your mind doesn't understand what's going on. The thing is, there is a transfer. Nevertheless, through your spirit and your body, because evidently you are speaking. So some transfer is taking place. It may not be logical to your thinking, but your logic is an illusion that you have. There are lots of things that you think that are really logic that don't make any sense whatsoever. I hope you realize that. All right. So, but the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life. You know, the give life, the word there used in Greek is really means endue you with power to your mortal body. So you see, it's the power that comes from inside. You know, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. I mean, he was dead 3 days. And he was brought back. Okay. That's the kind of, I would say that there is a lot of chemical reactions at least to take place, to fix up, to change on the physical level. Okay? So, will give life to your mortal body through his spirit who dwells in you. That includes energy, motivation, healing, strength, life, everything. See, the Holy Spirit is there to do all this work in your life. And that's what is going to happen, not just because he's inside there. It's because you allow him to do it, because he doesn't do anything in his own. He is not the director of the scene in your life. He's the helper. If he's a helper, that means, you know, you had to ask for help and you had to allow him to help you. You know what happens often? People, you know, need help. You try to help them. They don't want to be helped because, you know, they want to do things their own way. See, and when that happens, and you know that it would be so simple to change their lives, their situation, it hurts. How do you think God feels, the Holy Spirit feels, when he wants to help us so badly and we are so stubborn to stay where we are because we don't want to give him a chance? Because we just don't believe him. Because that's the bottom line all the time. We don't believe him. You know, Jesus said it very clearly to the apostles when they were failing, it's because of your unbelief. The power that raised Jesus from the dead, they changed the life of everybody that accepted him as Lord. That's a lot of power. They changed the life of everybody that got healed everywhere in Jesus' life, after, before, and forever. Wow. Praise the Lord. See, that's what we are dealing with today. That's what we are trying to remember today as we take communion. You see, he gave us what I call enacted meditation. For us to reenact, to think, to remember, and to properly set what took place before with respect to ourselves. You see, that what happens then doesn't matter if you are not partaker of it. We need to be partaker. We need to allow him to apply, by applying to ourselves what took place there and believing and receiving what he has done, so that we fulfill what you went through for. Are you following me? Okay, well, I think we are at the place to have communion, and I think we should call the children in. Take a minute. Don't get distracted. Focus on the fact that what Jesus has done. Okay, so we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Now, if anybody needs healing, this is the time to apply your faith to receive it. Verse 23 says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Now, the idea is this. You know, this is what describing what took place in the Last Supper of Jesus, describing what he was announcing that was taking place later on when he would be crucified. And he was announcing or explaining the covenant that was take place between us and God through him. It really was not a really a covenant between us and God. It was a covenant between him and God. He was going before God and offering himself as a sacrifice for us. Offering his body for our own body in our place. The results of sin is death. And so he was offering his body and sickness and all the other things connected with death. And he was offering his body to take the punishment or the curse that was coming from the sin on himself so that we may be free from it. So this is the first thing. So this is really what's taking place. We are remembering. There is nothing magic here. You know, we are just simply remembering what he did 2,000 years ago so that we may apply it to ourselves and say this is what he did for us and is just as valid today as it was valid then because he did it once for all. He offered his body in place of our body. He offered his blood, his life in place of our lives so that we may have life. We may have healing. You know, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, surely he has borne our sicknesses and carried our pain. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. See, the two things go together, go always together throughout the whole Bible. There is no place in which only one is considered. If you take Psalm 103, it says, you know, remember all of his benefits, who forgive all your iniquities, who heal all your diseases. It doesn't separate the two like many people do today because they do not take the Bible seriously. Because they don't believe the word seriously. The atonement or the redemption included both physical and spiritual conditions of men. And the two things cannot be separated. Jesus did the two things at two different times. He took our infirmity not on the cross. He took our infirmity at the post in which he was beaten and was tortured. At that time, he took our sickness and our diseases. And that was before even he took our sins. But then he died and gave his soul for us so that we are being forgiven for the sin that we made. You know, there are not many sins that we had to repent of. The only sin that we had to really repent of is not believing in him. Because when we believe in him truly, not just for a religious show, our life is changed and we are going to want to do the things that are of God because your spirit is born again. Praise the Lord. So this it says here, do not do this in remember as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. We had to remember what you did. We have to appropriate. What do you remember for? So that you apply to yourself. Let's continue. Verse 26. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. You see, this proclamation part is important. What we say makes the difference. See, how are you saved? You are saved by believing with your heart. And you are also, saved by confessing with your mouth. So So you had to believe what he did with your heart, and you had to confess his victory with your mouth. And that's what you do when you proclaim his death and his suffering in your place. Okay, so that's what you're going to do when you come up here. Okay, verse 27. Therefore, whoever eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So the fact is, you cannot come here and take communion just because you want to. You can do that only as you come to him by believing what Jesus has done for you. And trusting on what he has done cleanses you to enable you to receive the things that God has prepared for you and that he did for you. So the bottom line is, the only way to be coming worthy of receiving communion is only one. Not because of the things you did, not the good acts or the good things that you are trying to do or you're promising to do or whatever. Oh, doesn't matter. See, all your stuff is irrelevant. What counts is that you trust in what Jesus has done for you. He is the only source of what you get today. So you can be grateful for what he has done. And let the man examine himself, so to let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So how do you examine yourself? What you do? You're trying to figure out all your sins? How many do you have? Do you know how many do you have? Anybody knows how many they have? Okay, doesn't make any difference. What you have to do is simply believe that what Jesus has done cleanses you from your sins. So you depend on Jesus and not on yourself. For said, who eat and drink in unworthy manner, eats and drinks judgment on himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So you see, you have to discern the Lord's body. When you say that you have judgment on yourself, you know, what do you mean? Do you think it means that because you do it in an unworthy manner, God is going to blow you out? This is not what it's saying. See, you are not going to get free as you don't do it in an unworthy manner. Your conscience is not going to be cleansed. And you are going to still feel condemnation. That's the judgment you get. See, that's the way God corrects you. God doesn't correct you by putting sickness on you. The devil does, because he enjoys that. But that's not the work of God. That is the work of the devil. What God does is make you feel guilty inside. That's the chastisement that he puts on you. You go around not be able to receive what Jesus has done. All right. So that when you say, you know, that here it is, examine yourself. You examine, are you in the faith? Are you believing that what Jesus has done is enough? Do you believe that you're free? Do you believe that you can access God's presence today because of what he has done? And not because of what you did. See, this is when you discern the Lord's body. See, discernment is not something that you do with your mind. You had to do it, you see, it's a discernment, it's a spiritual separation of things that you had to do, and it comes from your heart. Now, if you are born again, your conscience should tell you if you are there, if you discern properly or not. So for this reason, many are weak and sick, and many of you are asleep. So the idea is that, you know, you cannot receive from God if you are not coming worthy, I mean, if you're going to come in faith to him. See, that's the basis for communion. You come to Jesus in faith, believing that what he has done is enough to set you free from sin and from sickness. Okay. For if we will judge ourselves, we will not be judged. But if we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord that he may not condemn us with the world. So the idea is, you know, he put us feeling of guilt inside that we said we don't deserve it. Well, you don't deserve it. I can tell you before we start. But Jesus make you deserving it. Okay? Therefore, my brethren, when you come together, eat and drink in this way. So, that's what we're going to do right now. My idea is, you know, to make a thing simple. Family can come together. We start myself and my wife, and we just break the bread. Dip it in the juice. And take it by believing that what he has done is enough to set us free from all the things that keep us bound today. And we apply our faith to that, gratefully acknowledging that he died for our sins and he took on his own body our sicknesses and our pains. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Just receive it now. So you can make a line in the center and this go back on the sides. Yeah, we can come in that too. The music people just write first. Sorry. So that they can sing for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now you know sometime healing takes time. Just let the Holy Spirit continue to work in you if you receive it already. Fine. If not, then remember, but if the spirit of him who raised Christ, Jesus from the dead dwells in you, we who raised Christ from the dead will also give power to your mortal body, give life to your mortal body through his spirit who dwells in you. So just let the spirit of God continue to minister to you for the changes to take place. Expect that. Allow that to take place. Believe that it's not finished. It's just happening. And it's going to continue to happen as what Jesus did becomes effective in your life. And let's close in prayer. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we believe. Thank you, Lord, that we receive. Thank you, Lord, that we proclaim your death, Lord, until you come. We proclaim the victory that you are achieved, Lord, for us. And we just praise you and thank you, Lord, today for everything, Lord. We forget not all your benefits. We receive them today, Lord, and we only believe in you, only believe in what you achieved, and only believe, Lord, that through you we can get all things in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. And amen.